Dallas Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us to live between two tensions. He says, and he instructs us in Matthew chapter 6, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who's in heaven." The chapter previously, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." We live within the tension of some things we do only before the Lord so that he will see us and he will reward us. And otherwise, we also live in front of people with a testimony that points to the Lord so that others will be attracted to him. If it's true, it is, that we as believers are lights of the world, I want to introduce you to a pretty bright light this morning. One whose life and whose testimony shines brightly for the cause of Christ. Mrs. Cindy Brinker Simmons is the president of Levinson and Brinker Public Relations Firm. She recognizes throughout her life that God is good all the time, in spite of ourselves and despite our circumstances. Cindy lost her famous mother, world tennis champion Marine, called Little Mo Connolly Brinker, to cancer when Cindy was only 12. And she lost her beloved husband, Bob, to cancer 3 years ago, a dear friend of many of ours. Despite those painful curveballs and heartbreaks, Cindy is a woman of deep faith who loves her Lord and Savior and chooses joy in all things. As I mentioned, she's president of the public relations firm. She's an author and serves on many charitable boards, including ours, the DTS Board of Incorporate Members. And most importantly, she would say she's the mother of a terrific 12-year-old named William. Her first book was called Little Mo's Legacy, A Mother's Lessons, A Daughter's Story. She's just finishing up a second book that will be on the goodness of God. God is good. And how do you face life when the curveballs are thrown at you? Cindy, thank you for your service on our board. Thank you for your testimony in our community. Thank you for being a bright light for the Savior. We love and appreciate you. Would you join me in welcoming our sister, Cindy Brinker Simmons?
Thank you, brother. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, dear brothers and sisters, God is good all the time. Amen. In spite of ourselves and despite our circumstances. Hallelujah. We can say that. Well, 3 years ago, when my son William was 9 years old, he had a very bad accident at school where he fell on both knees and badly scraped up his knees and had these gigantic bruises on both sides of his knees. I had a certain soap I had to apply to this scraped up raw skin to prevent infection. And applying this to raw skin was a painful ordeal to mother and child. And as I was doing this and thinking that someday soon, my active, precious son would be the cornerstone of some orthopedic surgeon's business, William cried out. He said, "Mom, Mom, my life is so difficult. These bumps and bruises have created so much pain." Now, you didn't know that my little William was a theologian, didn't you? Because he just nailed a basic truth in the gospel. Young men and women, none of us in this room is immune from the bumps and bruises of daily living. It's called suffering, and it can be painful. And yet, God uses this powerful tool of suffering in mighty ways to bless us. God's word not only prepares us for suffering, but he says, rejoice in it. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14 and 16 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange is happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Well, 3 years and 5 months ago today, I said goodbye to a loved one. My beloved husband, Bob, fought a courageous 3-year battle with cancer and went home to be with the Lord. Cancer, as Brother Mark said, had also invaded the inner sanctum of my life when I was 12, when my beloved mother, at age 34, succumbed to ovarian cancer. Bob was diagnosed with this rare disease in May of 2002. Our initial doctor gave Bob 3 months to live. But we didn't look on man's prognosis, but rather focused on God's direction and purpose for this journey that we were about to embark. And oh, brothers and sisters, what a journey it was. You know, I have to confess amongst you, it was a journey in a ministry that I really wouldn't have wanted to take, honestly. But you know, God doesn't ask. He doesn't ask because he knows the weakness of our flesh. You know, I'm convinced that's why it's the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. But God knows what is best for us, especially through the pain and the tears. As a matter of fact, many, many times along this 3-year journey, Bob would say that even though our trial was difficult, even though it was painful, and even though it was disruptive, we wouldn't change it for the world. We wouldn't change it for the world. Now, many people thought not only did we need a good oncologist, but we certainly needed a strong psychologist. I mean, how in the world could we say that? How could we have joy in spite of our circumstances? Well, James 1, 2 through 4 tries to tackle that question. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The greatest result of faith tested, that is perseverance, can only come, my friends, from suffering. Just as with the precious perfume of frankincense, that the sweet fragrance arises only after being touched with the fire and the heat of the flames, so too, God uses trials to refine us, to conform him more to his image. You see, when things you thought were important are burned away through adversity, your heart is purified, reflecting Jesus for all to see. As we just read in James, the testing of our faith is designed for our own good and to bring us to spiritual maturity. And dear friends, be confident that there is purpose in your suffering. You see, what Bob and I experienced through our 3-year cancer journey was an intimacy with God that was so deep and so real, and so comforting. Our own sufficiency, our own strength, our own resources were not even close enough to guide us through this journey. Our total inability to control this situation just glared at us. And yet, God's love for us, directing our steps through every death and life decisions we made, was so incredibly present in our lives. It was then that we understood the profound statement that God made in Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, when Paul pleaded 3 times that God take away the thorn in his flesh. The Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." To which Paul replied, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, in that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults, in hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." You see, sisters and brothers, what we experienced was that human weakness provides the ideal backdrop for for the display of divine power. Human weakness provides the ideal backdrop for the display of divine power. Hallelujah. When our talented caretakers at Zale Lipshey would time and time again ask Bob, Mr. Simmons, what do you have that makes you so joyful in times like this? Where is your strength? Where do you have your strength? Bob would reply, it's not what I have. It's who has me. Brothers and sisters, it's not what we have. It's in whose grasp we are placed. Hallelujah. You see, dear brothers and sisters, this life is not about us. It's not about us, but it's about giving glory to our Heavenly Father, the Lord God Almighty. That's what this life is about. And Jesus, as he was talking to his disciples about his impending death that they didn't even understand, emphasized that his entire focus was on his Father. In John 12, 27 through 28, this is a sweet part that is almost hidden in scriptures. This is what Jesus said. And this is what Bob and I clung to so much. Jesus said, now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. That's what Jesus said. It reminds me that when we had just heard our diagnosis and Bob was given 3 months to live, we walked out the threshold of that physician's office and Bob turned to me and said, Cindy, I don't know if I have 3 months. I don't know if I have 3 days. I don't know if I have 3 years. I don't know if I have 30 years. But from this point forward, we are going to give the glory to God. And it was a marvelous journey that I never, ever would give back. You see, Jesus' whole mission in life was to die voluntarily for us. Jesus' suffering brought forth our salvation. And the scriptures say in Isaiah 53:3 that Jesus was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. In Isaiah 53:4, it says that he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And as Isaiah 53:5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon his shoulders, and by his wounds, we are healed. Hallelujah. You see, brothers and sisters, the very heart of the gospel is about suffering. The very heart. Jesus suffered for the human race. Jesus understands our sufferings, and through it all, he has always obediently sought to bring glory and honor to his Father as his top priority. And as believers in him, we are identified with Christ. We share in those sufferings, don't we? You see, for Bob, cancer lost. Bob is alive. You see, Bob knew that death had no sting and that the victory was his as he anticipated the joy of spending life eternal with his Lord and Savior. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentarily troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hallelujah. You see, God healed Bob for eternity. Bob is now whole, unbroken, and alive forever. He is face to face with the Savior he so fervently worshiped on earth. And he has now received the prize of eternal glory through his faithful, obedient focusing on Christ in both the mountaintop and the desert experiences of his life. When Bob was about to breathe his last breath, it was sunrise on a Saturday morning in Dallas, and I had the blessing of being with him just right there. And as the sun was rising up in Dallas, I whispered in Bob's ear, I said, honey, The sun is rising in Dallas today, but today you will be with a risen sun. And I tell you, dear brothers and sisters, I could just hear God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, awesome. You see, the Lord reigns supreme and victorious in all of our affliction, trial, and death. However, sometimes that moment comes, doesn't it, that tests our relationship with our Savior, and sometimes we just crater. And it just reminds me of a comic strip I once saw. And the first frame of this comic strip was an egg. And the second frame of this comic strip was a little crack in the egg. And the third frame of this comic strip, a little chick poked his head out over the egg. And in the fourth frame, the little chick looked to the left. And in the fifth frame, the little chick looked to the right. And in the sixth frame, the little chick looked ahead. And in the seventh and the last frame, that little chick was pulling the eggshell back over his head. You know, I mean, doesn't that happen? Our circumstances just come full blast at us. And brothers and sisters, we want to retreat. It's inevitable. And that evil one robs us of our joy. Satan robs us of our joy when our circumstances just look so overwhelming, and retreat is the only feasible thing that we could do. Oh, little chick, you look to the left, and little chick, you look to the right. Oh, and little chick, you looked ahead. Oh, but little chick, you forgot to look up. You see, little chick focused on his circumstances rather than his Savior. And brothers and sisters, isn't that what we do? When we are afflicted, we focus on our circumstances instead of our Savior. It's a choice that we make. And that choice, depending on where we choose, can be the difference between bitterness, anger, and choosing joy. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus calls to our heavy hearts and tired souls, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. You see, we make a terrible mistake in life. We gaze at the world and just glance at Jesus, don't we? We've got it backwards. Brothers and sisters, what we need to do is just glance at the world and gaze at Jesus. For that Jesus, our Savior, has a purpose and a plan for you in your suffering. A purpose and a plan for you in your suffering. Finally, suffering has one other very important dimension. Part of the Lord's plan in suffering is for those around you to observe Christ's peace, patience, loving kindness, and joy radiating through your affliction. The heart and dedication of a person to Christ is magnified when he or she is in a desert experience. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, Mark 5:16 reminds us that people are watching. People are walking witnesses when suffering invades their life. There is no greater testimony to God's grace and loving kindness in a person's life than when that person can praise God in the midst of their suffering. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. You see, the words of the prophet Habakkuk show total trust in God, despite having received a vision that Judah was soon to be invaded by the ruthless, cruel, and vicious Babylonians. Habakkuk declares that even if God would send suffering and loss, he would still rejoice in his Savior God. This is one of the strongest affirmations of faith in all of Scripture. Gardeners know that luscious vines of grapes are only produced when they are first cut down to the stalk. Such pruning of vines takes time, sometimes years, but the ultimate product will be healthy, abundant, and delicious fruit. In our own lives, the gardener, with a capital G, prunes us and sometimes appears to be cutting away everything to the point of even looking like he is destroying the vine. However, he sees the future and knows that the final product will be a richness of life of the vine and a greater abundance of fruit. There are many blessings we will never receive until we are ready to pay the price of pain. For the path of suffering is the only way to reach them. To God be the glory. Would you please bow with me in prayer? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to serve you, Lord. What a privilege it is to be called a child of yours, Lord. Lord, we come to you as broken people, Lord. Oh, we need you. Oh, we need you, Lord. And some of us right now have holes in our heart that no EKG will ever detect. Lord, let those holes not be filled with bitterness and anger, Lord. Let those holes not be filled with self-doubt or addictions, Lord. And let those holes not be filled with stuff, because stuff can never satisfy and comfort and please. Lord, let those holes in our heart be filled with you, because you and you alone, O Lord, can comfort us and show us that you have a plan and a purpose for us in the mountaintop and the desert experiences of our life. Oh Lord, if there is anyone here today that is just bruised by the bumps and bruises and afflictions and devastation of daily living, Lord, let them know that they can come to you with outstretched arms and say, Abba, Abba, Father, please fix it. Because Father, you alone, you can heal the wounded. You can fix that which is unbreakable. You can find the lost, Father, because you are our creator, our Lord, our Alpha Omega. You are the great physician. You are our daddy. And oh Lord, you are so worthy to be worshiped. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for the holes in my heart, Lord. And I thank you that you have been there and your intimacy with William and Bob and I have been so strong. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And we give this thanks in your name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much.